Good morning, a Thursday morning. We are with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, you and I drink coffee in the morning. You know, we're up early, and
we do.
Many people do that. I see this story now in the New York Times. Coffee may protect against cancer. An influential panel of experts convened by the World Health Organization concluded Wednesday that regularly drinking coffee could protect against at least two types of cancer, a decision that follows decades of research pointing to the beverage's many health benefits. They say here 3 to 5 cups of coffee daily was not harmful and that moderate consumption might reduce chronic disease.
Excellent, excellent. You know, every once in a while, David, through no fault of our own, we read a story that says what we've been doing is productive. Happens every once in a while. On the other hand, every once in a while, you also read a story which is not so good. You say, okay, if you did this or did that, that's bad. And with some regularity, David, we read these stories and then we never see them again. So it's a good way to start the day by saying, you know, this is good for you. We drink it, of course, because we like it. And because, you know, when you get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, at 2:30 in the morning, this is what gets you going. So good. A good story in a spate of bad times.
Just one moment. Okay, now because it's media day, Thursday's the day when your colleagues come in and record the media project, here's an editorial from the New York Times this morning. How Donald Trump tends his media blacklist. Mr. Trump's media bashing is another instance of his targeting entire groups for criticism and control.
Well, David, one of the things I've always thought is that, of course, we know from the polls that the press is extremely badly thought of in America. So Trump, of course, being a sort of, I don't want to use the word genius because it has a positive, you know, aspect to it, but he knows who he's playing with, and he is catering to that common denominator of people who don't like the press. And he is saying, look, they don't like me, so I don't like them back. That's who I am, and that's what I'm going to do. And so he says to the Washington Post, your reporters are out of here. I remember a guy named David Merrick. He probably is not remembered by most, but he was a very successful Broadway producer. And there were a couple of critics who had a little blood in their eye when where he was concerned. At least he thought so. So he said, you're not welcome in my theaters. And that, of course, is what Trump is doing now. Now, of course, the press gets very annoyed about this and says, this isn't right, you know, freedom of expression, freedom of access, and they get all angry. But I have a feeling that the people that Trump is playing to appreciate what he's doing. I don't.
Let's stay with Trump for one moment, Alan. Trump now says he's going to meet with the NRA, who has endorsed him for president, to discuss preventing gun sales to people on terror watch list, not necessarily the positions of the Republican Party and the NRA.
Well, yeah. At some point, the NRA stranglehold on political action when it comes to guns has got to be broken. Now, this is very interesting because here comes Trump now and says, look, we have to be stricter about who has access to guns, and this is one thing that I think is possible. If you're on a terror list, you shouldn't have a gun. How can the NRA say something else?
The CIA, torture, described in transcripts by ex-detainees, transcripts, Alan, from military hearings of former CIA prisoners were disclosed in a response to a lawsuit by the American Civil Liberties Union, and one detainee described standing for hours, naked, shackled in a cold room and being waterboarded until he required resuscitation.
Surprise, surprise. We knew this was going on. It all comes down to this. When you are convinced that the bad guys are going to blow you up or bring in a soft bomb or do all of this, you say, okay, anything is justified. All right, let's just assume for a second that you're right about that, that somebody's got a bomb that's ready to go, and although we do hear that these extreme methods don't work. But let's assume for a second that that happens. How long is it until somebody is also assumes that a political enemy really means them no harm? Where do you stop? That's why courts have to be involved, and not kangaroo courts. And I think, frankly, that's where we're going in this country. We say, all right, there'll be special courts. You won't know who the judges are. You won't know what's happening, but there'll be a court, and we can go and get a warrant from those faceless people who call themselves judges or who are called judges. I think this is a very slippery slope.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, joining us. Back to the coffee now.